Thank you for correcting. I fed Nick that wrong word about the Allertons. It's the Degels. I'm still back in the men's group, you know, having men's group there. But just a word about the Yelp thing. There are people looking for the Lord and don't know that they're looking for him. And there are people looking, I believe, looking for this fellowship, and they don't know that they're looking for this fellowship. So the reason that we offer those kinds of sacraments up to the Lord, actions like, there are people, I believe, who want to listen to your album and don't know it. I believe that's the whole point of a sacrament. A sacrament, defined by Thomas Aquinas, is a human action that God has agreed to meet with grace. So it's, you have to think of a sacrament like a lightning rod. You put it up, and then he zaps it. That's what communion is. That's what weddings are. That's what baptisms are. That's what prayers of conversion and repentance are. That's what confession of sins are. It's an action that you do that God has said, I will meet that with grace. So please keep the Stebners in prayer as they lift up this album. They've done a human action, and those of us around and who've been part of the process in some way are convinced that that is an action that God has promised to meet with grace. So please keep them in prayer, and please lift that up. And I believe that there are people who want to worship to the psalms that you've written, and they just don't know it yet. In the same way, I believe that there are people who are longing to fellowship here and don't know it yet. And there are people longing to meet Christ, and they don't know it yet. So that's when we evangelize, that's what we do. We share the word that people are waiting to hear and don't know it. So that has nothing to do with today's sermon, but it might. I don't know. Maybe I can make it tie in there. We were just outside, and Harley asked me, so how was... Whoa, suicidal water bottle. Just jumped over the edge. Harley asked me, so how was Hawaii? And I had to say Hawaii was wonderful because Hawaii is wonderful. Kauai is an amazing place. We love it there, even though it's kind of a workcation. I spoke four times, I think, while I was there. It was a workcation and this many appointments. But it's great. You've been to Kauai, right? I know the aughts have. Anybody else here been to Kauai? Right? Okay. Yes, that's right. You guys have been. It's great. But no place is perfect. And every time we're getting ready to go there, every time we land there and start working our way around the island, there's this part that really annoys me. And it recurs. It's inescapable. It recurs, and it annoys me. And I try to ignore it, but it just crawls in the back of my skull and bugs me. It sounds like this. Aloha, guys. Aloha, guys. And like there's this counter at the back of my head that counts how many times people say, aloha, guys. Because it's only the people, it's only the shops and services that work with tourists that say that. And it's always, aloha, guys. And it's completely scripted, and it bugs me. Because the locals, they don't say that. They say, how's it? How's it? And then they do the chin point, you know, the how's it? That's it. So you go to Ace Hardware, they say, how's it? And you go to, you know, some boutique, and they say, aloha, guys. You're just like, I don't know who are you. But what bothers me is not just the greeting. What bothers me are all the implications of it. Bless you. That means something. We're in church. Because there's a scripted conversation that inevitably follows that. It's, aloha, guys. And then the next thing they're going to ask you, anybody? Oh, no, they're not that direct. No, not at all. They're surreptitious, okay?
Is this your first time here?
There's one of them. Is this your first time here? That comes later. First they go, getting some beach time in? Uh-huh.
The island is all made out of beach, okay? It's a rock stuck in the middle of the ocean. You can't do anything but get beach time because everywhere you drive is the beach. The beach is always right there, okay? If you're going north or east, and then it's just right there if you're going the other way. Yeah, we're getting some beach time in. And then, next question. How long are you here for? What's the next one? Huh? Where are you from? Where are you staying? And you could just, I'm going to get cards printed someday that have, I'm staying in Kapa'a, I'm here for 3 weeks, right? And yes, I've been to the beach. And when they say, aloha, guys, I'm just going to hand it to them and keep walking. Because, what's that? Make a shirt. Oh, my gosh. That would be awesome. Sell it at tourist shop. Okay? If we do that, you're getting half the profits, okay? The rest of half the profits are up at Bethel. But anyway, sorry. Did I say that out loud? I think I said that. Aloha, guys. And then go, I'm here for 3 weeks. I've been to the beach, and I'm from Burbank. Oh, it's so cool. It's not my honeymoon. I have been here before. I'm staying in Kapaa. No, it's not my honeymoon. I just don't tan. Yeah. Oh, these would be great. But you get the point. Because really translated, what those mean are, what's your socioeconomic status? How much money do you make? What are your preferences and styles and values? Because if you say, I'm staying in Anaholo, they go, oh, local guy, huh? Or, you don't have any money. You say, I'm staying in Princeville. And if it's more than a week, they know you have money. Right? How long are you here for? I'm here for a month. Oh, let me show you over here to our elite product line. You see? Yeah. If you say, we're here for 5 days, they're like, yeah, that's great. Anyway, and they go back on their phones. Or they say, where are you from? And they really mean, how wealthy are you? What's your status? Because if you say, ah, we're from Riverton, Kansas. We're from Galena. They say, oh, how quaint. You say, well, we're really from all over. We have one place in Paris, one place in New York, one place in... You say, oh, come right this way. Can I offer you some complimentary macadamia nuts? You know? And those things, the reason that they're doing it, and there's some legitimacy to it, especially as an anthropologist, I have to take into account that those things are indicators and identifiers of people, of who we are. That's the whole idea of a status symbol. A status symbol is not just something that tells rank. A status symbol is something that locates you in society according to your place and role. So, for example, this is a status symbol. Got it? It doesn't say that I'm high class. It says that I'm married. That's my status. And with that status goes a role, which is privileges and obligations, duties, behaviors, all those sorts of things. And values, yes. But the woman's ring can be both, right? The woman's ring can be both. Yeah, when it's like, yeah. Oh, wait, let me show you my ring. Yes. See, it can be both. It can be both. But a zip code is a status symbol too, right? 90210, that's a status symbol. 92663 is a status symbol. Where's 92663, people? Balboa Peninsula. Balboa Peninsula, 92663. 92661 is all the rest of Newport. Yes, that's right. 92660, those are those people up on Newport Coast. See, all of those things. Clothes are status symbols. Okay? A police uniform is a status symbol. A badge, status symbol. And so when they're asking you these questions, aloha, guys. You know, and it always sounds, by the way, like that receptionist from Office Space. Aloha, guys. Good. Can I help you? You know that? Whatever she does that. All these things indicate who we are, and they're accurate in that we identify ourselves by those things.
And sometimes these things can reveal things to us about us that we might not even know or recognize, things that remain unexamined in our own awareness, our own identities and characters. So we're going to ask you to do a little experiment, just very briefly, quite a bit more briefly than pass the peace. Okay? Turn to somebody other than the person you came with and answer this question. Where's home for you? Where are you from? Aloha, guys. Where are you from? How long are you here? Where are you staying? Where's home for you? All right, good. So one of the things that Wendy and I have found very awkward is that this actually happened to us coming across the border from Mexico, too. One of the things that we found awkward, one of the things that she and I do awkwardly, actually there are three things. One, we can't dance together, you know? It's terrible. We can't dance. No, it's just that she has one rhythm and I have the other. So I'm on the upbeat. She's on the downbeat. Got it? And it's the other thing we can't do is we can't cross streets well together because I always stop and she always goes out in front of the traffic. And except if it's the Philippines, then I walk out in the traffic and she stays on the sidewalk, right? Amen? Yeah, you just got to go, hey, brother, they're going to part around me. And then the jeepney like almost slices off your nose, but they won't hit you, usually. The third thing is that when people ask us, aloha, guys, where are you from? We never answer the same thing. Because people ask me where I'm from, and I say, Newport. Sometimes. And sometimes I say, Santa Ana. And sometimes I say, Orange County. And sometimes she says, Orange County. Sometimes she says, Santa Ana. And half the time she says, Newport. Because she grew up in Newport, and I grew up in Newport. And to me, I'm still from Newport. Where am I from? I'm from Newport. Lived there since I was 9. All right? Grew up in North Long Beach in the projects before that, but then you go from North Long Beach to Balboa, it's weird. Culture shock. Yeah. I thought everybody grew up having guns in their glove box, you know, kind of like Kansas. But then socialized and enculturated into Balboa, and then lived on a boat in Newport Bay, lived there as a single person. I lived there till I was 40, almost. Just a couple weeks shy. And then a number of times in Costa Mesa, but always around the Newport Mesa area. Same thing with her. You guys probably don't know this, but when I was about 25, I lived off Bay Street on Bayside Drive in this apartment with my mom, overlooking a playground at the Methodist church there. I didn't know, but she worked at that playground.
I had seen her before. Going, oh, there's a cute girl doing it, right? Didn't even know it till years later that that was her. But our lives always entwined around each other around Newport before we even knew each other. And so sometimes they'll go, aloha, guys, where are you from? I say, Newport. She goes, Santa Ana. It's happening coming across the border. The guy says, where are you from? I said, Santa Ana. She goes, Newport. See the people that search your car, you know? Because there's this thing in us that's deep in our identity that says where we are from, and that's home. The concept of home is the place makes the people and the people make the place. Like, oh, this is home. What's your home group? What's your home story? Who are your people? Where are you from? So sometimes you say, I'm an American, you know, which identifies you with a people group, not a place. That's why the question, where are you from, is different than where are you staying. Where do you live? Where can be either one. Now, if someone were to say, where do you live? We'd both answer Santa Ana. But when they say, where are you from? Suddenly our answers change. Because somehow some part of me is still down in Newport. This happened with my parents. They lived in Joshua Tree. Okay? Sunny, beautiful, dry. Joshua Tree. Which to me is a huge beach with no ocean. Right? I'd be there with my boogie board going, ah, it's going to be a drag to get back to the car, you know. But they lived there. And they still had a post office box in Balboa. And my mom would drive somewhere between 3 and 4 hours every week to pick up the mail down in Balboa. And if you were to go out to my parents' property in Joshua Tree, you know what they'd find on it? Boats. There were like 5 boats. And tubs of commercial fishing lines and commercial fishing gear all over the property. Buoys and anchors, and it was just a really long beach to them too. And the reason that that was so is that because that's who they were. And though they didn't live there, they lived there. They didn't live at the beach, but they lived there. Even in the desert, they lived at the beach, though they stayed at the desert. You got it? That's what home means. It's where we locate our identification. Immanuel Kant, the philosopher isolated in his work on metaphysics, he isolated that human beings always think in terms of time and space. He said that time and space are reliable parts of reality because human beings, no matter what, always think of when and where something is or isn't. If something exists, they think of where it, that it must be somewhere and it must be some when. And in the same way, human beings locate themselves and identify themselves by where they're from, their home pivot foot of identity, and what story they're in. Now, human beings also add the dimension of what people group they're a part of. But it's like that. We always think in terms of who we are, and that's what shows what who I am and where I am and where I am from. Because everything I'm doing is an extension out of that location, that ground location of identity. That's home. And when people don't have that, they feel disoriented and dislocated. You got Bibles or Androids? Look at Proverbs. Would somebody please stand and read Proverbs 27:8? Come on. Somebody stand and deliver. Proverbs 27:8. Loudly, clearly, and slowly. All right, do it, brother man. 27:8.
All right, so like a bird that wanders from its nest is a man who wanders from his own place.
Awesome. Like a bird that wanders from its nest, that disorientation, just that happened. Actually, I was preparing this sermon yesterday in the backyard, working through draft number 5. I hear this chip, 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 chip. And it's this mockingbird chick that has, like, hopped out of the nest down the palm tree and is wandering through the garden, can't fly. And the mom mockingbird is going nuts, trying, and can't get the thing back in the nest. And that's part of their process. But it's that idea of a bird wandering from the nest, so is the man who wanders from his home. The idea of dislocation from your grounding, it's like a ship without anchor, just adrift. And we experience that disorientation and dislocation if we lose our solidarity with our grounded identity of home. Can we pick on you, Kathy? Where's home for you? Yes. Do you still think of Taiwan as home? Yeah. How long have you been here? 26 years. How old were you when you came here? You're 14 and a half when you came here, but you've been here 26 years. Where have you spent almost twice the amount of time here, all of your adult life here and all of your teens here, but Taiwan is home. If you were to lose that connection to Taiwan, it would set you adrift. That's that anchor point of identity. You get that? It doesn't matter how long you've been away, you're still there. Now, this is why cultures always express their values in songs about home, right? Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains, right? You get it? I just don't try to hit that note. Yeah, good. Fruited plain. Okay, got it. yeah. Now you got to go to falsetto. That's our falsetto song, right? Yeah, good. That song is about fruited lands and purple mountains, right? Waves of grain. That song could be about the Ukraine, couldn't it? But see, we associate it with home. Even those images are still home. Sweet home.
Alabama.
What? Sweet home, Alabama. Where's the skies? Okay. No blue skies elsewhere? Right. Country road. Take me home to the place I belong. West Virginia, Mountain Mama, take me home, country road. Right? Songs about home all the time. Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam and the deer and the cantaloupe play. That's a melancholy song. Sorry, that just came to me. Sorry. Bad. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. You know, never mind that we stole somebody's anthem for that one, right? I wish they all could be California girls. Something like that. I'll be home for Christmas. You can count on me. Right? Please have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree. I'll be home if only in my heart. See, it's these anchor points, this home thing that just keeps coming out and out and out in songs. Now, those of you who haven't been here with us intermittently, we've been looking at God's vinyl, the songs of Scripture. And there's this theme that
flows through many of the Psalms and is expressed in some of them, that is home. The homeness, the locatedness of the people of God in their songs that comes out, and it always seems to express a few key points. Where and who and with whom? Where are they located? What's the story that they're in? Who are they with? And where physically is home? There's this idea of the land. You know, Abraham and God, at the very beginning, God tells Abraham, get up and go to a land that I will show you later. So there's this foot in the land all the time. And there's the other foot in covenant, God's agreement to be the God of his people, and that unique relationship that they have with Yahweh, specifically Yahweh and not anybody else. Well, maybe El, right? Elohim. But you see, another name. But there's this unique relationship that they have, the people and their God, the people and their land, and the people and each other as the children of Israel. And these always come out in their psalms. And some very, very clearly. It comes out in some points, but some just massively. So if you would, please, turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Psalm 100, page 629. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, that's Yahweh, is God, El. It is he that has made us, and we are his. You hear that homeness? It's he that's made us, and we're his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture and purple mountains and waves of grain, right? We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations.
Amen.
Amen? You hear those recurring themes there? Turn over to Psalm 135. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Give praise, O servants of Yahweh, or the Lord. You that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing to his name, for he is gracious. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel as his own possession. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all the depths. He it is who makes the clouds rise at the end of the earth, who makes lightnings for the rain and brings forth the wind from his storehouses. He it was who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both man and of beast, who in thy midst, O Egypt, sent signs and wonders against Pharaoh and all of his servants, who smote many nations and slew many kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land as a heritage to his people Israel. You hear this? Part of the story, part of the history. That's why if you ask a Jew what he wants for lunch, he says, well, our father Abraham, and he tells the whole story of Israel, and then gets to what he wants to lunch. Because he always locates himself in this story. Thy name, O Lord, endures forever. Thy renown, O Lord, through all the ages. For the Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths and they don't speak. They have eyes and they don't see. They have ears, but they hear not, nor is there any breath in their mouths. Like them be those who make them, yea, everyone who trusts in them. O house of Israel, bless the Lord. O house of Aaron, bless the Lord. O house of Levi, bless the Lord. You that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord from Zion, he who dwells in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Hear this nationalism there? It's like, we got spirit. Yes, we do. We got spirit. How about you? You know, how about Jew?
Sorry, I had to do that, you know? It just happened. It just came up out of me. That's this idea of we are the nation of Yahweh. There are distinctives. Our God is better. We got purple mountains majesty and amber waves of grain, and my country tis of thee, and sweet home Alabama. All lumped into one. And it shows its way in the enthronement psalms. It shows its way in the psalms of ascents, the pilgrimage psalms, all of those. It keeps coming through. Turn over to Psalm 87. Psalm 87. 87. That's an 8 and a 7. 7 comes after the 8 there. Verse 1. On the holy mount stands the city he founded. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. Among those who know me, I mention Rahab and Babylon. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This one was born there, they say. Where are you from? Aloha, guys. Where are you from?
I'm from Babylonia.
Oh.
I am from Philistia. Yeah. I'm from Egypt. Yeah. This one was born there, they say. And of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her.
I'm from Zion. Ooh, right this way. For the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord records as he registers the peoples.
This one was born there.
Singers and dancers alike say, all my springs are in you. Sweet home Zion. Sweet home Jerusalem, where God has placed people. See, home for them is the land and the covenant where God has placed them. This is special. Home is where your heart is. Home is where you belong. Home is where you will always belong, and the people of God belong with God. Whether that's in Zion or following the tabernacle around the wilderness. It's not just where you're staying, it's where you're home. That's the big deal. That's the issue. Our house in the middle of our street. Our house in the middle of our... And mom doing stuff, right? That's what these songs are. They're saying... God's house in the middle of the street. God's house, and it's our house. And that's where we go to meet. And that's where we relax, and that's where we rest, and that's where we belong, and that's where we're at home. Now, this is a little bit difficult for Christians. Because, what was your first answer, Kathy? I knew you would answer this. Somehow I've known you for this long. What was your first answer to Debbie? Where's your home? Heaven. Got it? Like in Philippians 3, where Paul says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from where also we look for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our bodies with the same miraculous ability with which he transforms. Got it? We look for Christ from our home. Or Paul saying in Colossians 3, you have died and your life is hid with Christ in God. Look to heavenly things. Because that's where your life is. So for us, it's a little bit difficult. Right? Because our lives are home. But we're staying here for a few weeks. You know? So where are you from? Heaven, here. And there's these two parts of us crying out different things. And that's okay. Jesus says, I'm not of the world, you're not of the world, you're not of the world just like I'm not of the world. He says it in John 15, he says it in John 17. He says, if you were of the world would love you, but the world hates you because you're not of the world, because I'm not of the world. And by the way, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Home. So we have this duality where we're at home with the people of God here, but we're longing for our home, and we really don't know what to answer sometimes. And that's okay. But the key point is that we should not feel at home in the world.
That is not our home. That is not where we locate our identities, and we should. It should always rankle us a little bit and annoy us. And people should always go, "Y'all aren't from around here, are you? You don't have the right tan. You don't talk the right way. Aloha, guys. Where are you from?" We should walk in every interaction in this world. We walk into it, and it always jangles a little bit, and they say, "Aloha, guys. Where are you from? Where are you staying?" "Well, I'm staying in Costa Mesa. I'm from heaven. I don't really fit around here. I'm just visiting for a little while. I don't tan well." That should be that obvious. Because aloha, guys, also is a distinction that they make between them and us. It says, "I belong here and you don't. I'm going to ask you questions about where you're from because we both know you're not from here, are you? So let's establish that you're not from here." And that should be that same sort of disconnect every time we're at our work, every time we're out in society. There's a disconnect where we don't fit. And they say, "You aren't from around here, are you?" You're like, "No." And they're going, "You smell like holiness." That's who? The aroma of Christ, Paul calls it, right? We're not from around here. And it may sound strange to answer that we're not, that we're from a place that we don't live. But that's the truth. Go to Psalm 65, if you would. Actually, better yet, go to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. Psalm 84. Sorry, I switched you up there. "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yea, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. At thy altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are the men whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion, as they go through the valley of Baca, as they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in thee." And you can just feel somebody going, "I'm with the Lord, I'm home." That's why we talk about the death of saints as going home. They go home. Doesn't matter how nice the place you're staying is, it's not home. Now, real briefly, I find a tragedy that there are homeless Christians wandering around. Like the prodigal son, they've said, "You know, I have a difference with the church." By the way, I've never found anybody who really has a theological difference with the church. I found people who have desire to live without moral constraint and then rationalize it. I've never found somebody who has a problem with Christianity that didn't start with, I want to have the right to do this behavior, and then I wrap all the justifications around it, and it ends up as, I have a problem with the church. Usually, it's, I want to be bitter, I want to be greedy, I want to be angry, I want to be selfish, I want to be proud, I don't want someone to tell me what to do, I want to be sexually loose, I want to do drugs, I want to drink myself blind, I want to cheat on my wife, I want to cheat. And then it ends up as, I have a problem with the church, they're all hypocrites. Come on in, there's room for one more. But people frequently, and this happens in generations, wander from the church based on those grounds, and then, like a bird from their nest, they're out sleeping in an alcove somewhere. Never at home. They're not at home in the world, and they're not at home in the church, and they're not at home in heaven, and they're just homeless and burnt out and beat up. And it's a tragedy. This is what Jesus said in the parable of the prodigal son. And he wandered out and he squandered everything with loose living and with sexual immorality. And he was feeding pigs going, you know, I vaguely remember a better life. And it's part of our duty to call people like that home. And it says, one day he awoke and he went, I'm going to go home. Wow, there was some peace there. There was some care there. There's some resources there. Hey, home's not so bad. The other thing, like it says in Psalm 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the oil that just ran down Aaron's beard all the way down to his skirts. It's like the snow on Hermon, you know. It's good to be home sometimes, even if our home is just a temporary home away from home. The other thing is that the call goes out to all people everywhere. There's a home for you here. Even though it's a temporary, it's a mobile home. You know, it's like a cruise ship. It's a destination going to a destination. There's a home for you here. Like Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And the call goes out. Come home. Stay home. Be home. Be among your people. Be in the house of your God. Get refreshed. Let down your guard. Relax. Kick your shoes off. You're home. That's what we do when we make home here every Sunday. We're home. We're with other people who don't tan well. You know? Where are you from? I'm from here. I'm from here. I'm from this home. Nice to be home with you. You can rest in the house of God. He wants you home. Come home. Stay home. Because this is where you belong, and this is who you really are. And if you ever wander, remember, home is waiting for you until we get home. I'll see you at home next week. Please pray with me. Lord, you are where our hearts are. You are home. A day in your courts is better than 1,000 at the mall or online or at work or at the beach or sporting or at the gym or among friends. We love being home with you. Thank you for giving us a respite and a place of belonging. We remember those who have wandered from you, and we say, Lord, please call your people home. Have mercy on the wanderers. And bring the people who don't know that they need to be home yet. Bring them home. In your name and to your glory, Lord Jesus. Amen.